The reading this morning is from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realms of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made me my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen.
Wonderful. Let me open us up in prayer just now. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to your word this morning, I ask that you would clear whatever is in our minds and on our hearts that has been going on and help us to see the greatness and the glory of who you are, Lord. And I just pray that we would leave today praising you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I would love to introduce you to a man called Brian Johnson. He'll appear just there. Wonderful. Now, Brian is the figurehead of this movement which is coming out in the world and emerging called the longevity movement. Now, longevity, for those of you who are unaware, is this idea coming out, particularly among men, that it's not just about making your life, having a good life living, but it's about how can I stop or even reverse the aging process? How can I undo the damage that has been done to my body? And it even goes to the extreme of some men saying, how can I live forever? And Brian, as I said, has become the figurehead of this movement and has dedicated his life to the pursuit of living forever, not just stopping aging, not just slowing aging, but reversing it completely. And he is the self-proclaimed most measured man on earth. Every cell in his body is looked at to, for signs of aging and decay and then trying to reverse it. Every organ is tested each day, and he puts his body through these treatments, such as this laser treatment on his skin, which he has described himself as like being branded all over your skin each day, all in the name of not aging. And in doing this and in putting his body through this, Brian has amassed millions of followers. They cling to his every word and to his every teaching, praising him for the experiments that he puts his body through, purchasing all the products, all the supplements that he puts out, and they all subscribe to this mantra that he's got, this mantra which says, don't die. And there's these really weird pictures of gatherings at like these conferences that he's held as people are raising their hands out towards him, wearing these t-shirts saying, don't die. Because they worship this man in a way, because they believe that he has the answer to aging. Now, this picture from Brian is specifically from a YouTube video that he posted over a month ago now. And it is titled, I Have Some Bad News. And quite sadly in this video, what Brian goes on to tell his millions of followers listening is that he has an incurable autoimmune disease which is slowly killing his body. Now, Brian doesn't let that bring him down. He triumphantly says, it's not been cured yet, but I will cure it. I'm going to find a way. But I think this and why he has so many people listening to him speaks to a larger problem in our current age, as we are obsessed with this idea of overcoming and answering these questions which have plagued humanity since its creation. How do we overcome? How do we stop illness and ultimately death? Because these things are scary, and I don't want to have to deal with them or anything to do with them. I want someone to give me a solution that can change my life, and I don't have to worry about it. In Psalm 30, as we've had read to us a minute ago, David is going through a time of illness, a time of sickness. And we see his response, and that response is one which is very different to that of the world around us. So if you have your Bibles still, open them up again to Psalm 30. And as we look at our first point this evening, praise God because he saves. Praise God because he saves. Now, as we read these opening verses here, we see that David is not just in bed with a bad case of man flu, but from his description and how he tells it, he is in the depths, is the word that he uses over and over again. He is among the realm of the dead. He is on his way down to the pit. We don't know whatever illness David is speaking about here, but what we can be certain of is that David is as good as dead. He sees no end in sight. He is stuck in this pit. However, you don't have to be able to understand Hebrew to see that this is not how the psalm ends. Because in and amongst David's description of his conditions, of how he is in the pit, how he is suffering, we see that that is mixed with shouts of praise to God for all that he has done. Praise to God because he's healed him. Praise to God because he saved him. The description that is used here by David is like that of water being drawn up from a well. David is stuck in this pit, in the bottom of it, unable to get himself out, unable to do anything, as good as dead. And God lowers his hand down like a bucket down a well and gently lifts him back up out of that pit and restores him. And as we said, and as we see, David's response to God's work in his life is to praise him and to give him thanks because of what he's done. But not only that, but also, as we see in verses 4 and 5, to call others to praise, to call the people of Israel to praise God. And why? Because of God's character. As he describes, because of his favor which lasts a lifetime and his ability to turn weeping into joy. And David is doing this and calling the people because he knows that this is not something that he himself has only experienced, but it is something that all of God's people know to be true and all of God's people have experienced. And so I think that is still true for us today. Maybe you, like David, have been healed. You know what it is like to have a sickness, to have an illness, and to be near to death, or even in a less extreme case, to just have a sickness and to be ill. But the psalm, David here, calls us to see God's handiwork in our healing, in us being restored to health. And how often do we speak of the miracles of modern medicine? And there is no doubt that while David was unwell, he would have been surrounded by the best doctors in the land. As king, there would have been countless amounts of gold spent on trying to heal him. And to be clear, I am in no way preaching against these things. If you are unwell, please do go see your doctor. But David wants to show the people and wants to praise God for the truth that he knows that deep down his recovery could only have come from God. And so when, like David maybe, we are sick or unwell, who or what is it that we praise in our hearts? Do we praise medicine, doctors, the nurses? Do we speak of the benefits in our lives of going to the gym, of changing our diet? Or do we rightly see the health that we have for what it is, a daily gift given to us from God? And that is God who holds the power of both life and death in his hands. While specifically talking of physical sickness here, it is not the only way, though, that we can find ourselves in this pit like David does. Perhaps you know in your life struggles with mental health, with depression, anxiety, loneliness, these things that are so rife in our modern world. But as you know these things and struggle with these things, I'm sure there are many who can attest to God's ability to step into these situations, to swoop down and to lift us up out of that pit. And so just as David does for healing here, if you know that to be true, then the call is still the same to praise God for what he's done in your life. Maybe you've known financial difficulties. You know what it is like to be in poverty, to be scraping by each day. But again, maybe you can attest to God's goodness in that situation, God's ability to bring you up out of that pit. And so again, we ought to praise God for what he has done. You go on, issues with marriages, hard times at work, difficulty with friends, addictions, feeling stuck in sin over and over and over again. God feeling distant. I don't know where he is and I can't find him in my life. As many of us have suffered with one of these things or many of these things throughout our lives, can we not attest to and can we not say of God's ability to come down and to pick us up out of these things, to draw us up from the pit? Yes, there may be much weeping and much difficulty in our lives, but as David calls the people of Israel to think, can we not say God's favor lasts a lifetime too? Can we not join with David in praising God for all that he has done in our lives? And as David does, we are not to keep these things to ourselves, but we are to share them with other people, perhaps sharing them with our church family, testifying to one another of the goodness of God in our lives, so that we may praise him together, so that we may encourage one another as we walk our Christian lives. As you share these things, as you encourage one another, you might be reminding a brother or sister who is feeling in the pit at the moment, who is feeling stuck, unable to praise God. And you might be reminding and encouraging them that God is worthy of praise. And so we should help each other to reflect on the goodness of God in our lives, of that favor which lasts a lifetime. Perhaps this morning, just tell someone of the goodness of God's saving power in your life and praise him together for what he has done. But also share in this saving work with the rest of the world. Do not shy away from what God has done for you. Perhaps if you've been off sick from work, if you've had these difficulties, don't just say it is medicine or doctors that healed me, but acknowledge God for what he has done. And I know that this can be a terrifying thought of feeling a bit weird. And to my own shame, I can say that as I think about my week, as I sit there and work in a room full of accountants, and they say, what are you up to at the weekend? And I know that I'm preaching on Sunday. There's nothing I want to say less most of the time than I'm preaching. And a lot of the times, it is just met with complete silence and nobody cares. And sometimes I just think, there's no point in saying it. I'll just miss it out. But we are to share God's saving work with those. Because the question isn't, what are people going to think of me if I say this? The question is rather, is God worthy of the praise for what he has done? Has God saved me, and should I tell of his praises and of his goodness to these people? If you can attest to in your life countless of times that God has come down into that pit and drawn you up, then the answer to that question is yes, he is worthy of your praise. David moves on in the psalm to recount more of the events and the circumstances which led to this sickness to help us better understand what is going on. So now look with me at verses 6 to 10 and our second point this morning. Cry out to God because he saves. Cry out to God because he saves. Here we get a glimpse from David of the cause of his illness, of his sickness from which he was saved, and why he was saved. David tells us pre-sickness that he said, I will never be shaken. Now, in Psalm 10, verse 6, David says, the boast of the wicked man is nothing will ever shake me. David is confessing, telling the people of Israel that his heart in that moment was full of pride and arrogance. Yes, we see that he acknowledges God in establishing his kingdom and his throne. And now he stands there and seeing all that is around him, he says, I am unbeatable. Nothing can move me. And so what is it we see God do? David says he turns his face from him. And this looks like David falling sick and nearly dying. And we see in here a real reminder that God is a holy God who hates sin. And we cannot lose sight of that as Christians. Yes, we've been forgiven for our sins, but that does not mean that sin does not have very real and sometimes irreversible consequences here and now. We know this to be true in our lives. So we think of lies that we could tell or lies that have been told and the effect that they have on us, the effect they have on relationships, the ability to ruin. And yes, we can know forgiveness from people. Yes, we can know forgiveness from God. But sometimes there's damage caused that cannot be reversed. And similarly, we see here, God does punish his children. But he does so out of love, so that we do not remain in sin. You see, David knows, and he's saying that the worst place that he can be is away from God's presence, to have God's face turned from him. And that is what sin does. Sin separates us from God. And so if God were to allow David to stand firm and to say, nothing can shake me, then he would remain away from God's presence and completely unaware of that fact. And so God comes in and humbles him. He allows him to go down into that pit and thus bringing David back into his presence. And yes, we are now those in whom God dwells in. And in that same way, sin does not separate us from God, but that does not mean that sin is okay and that sin doesn't have consequences. And if anything, as those whom God has chosen to dwell in, sin is even worse. And we should be more cautious of not doing that. And to make another point clear, if you are sick today or feel like you're in the pit in any way, I am not saying that that is because God is punishing you for sin that you've done. That is not the only reason we can find ourselves there. But perhaps for some of us, we know that to be true. We are currently in the pit and experiencing that. And we know in my life, there is some very real sin that I am aware of and I don't want to repent for. I don't want to hand it over to God and to ask for forgiveness. Perhaps you, like David, feel separated from God now, and you know that is because of sin in your life. And the answer that David gives is to cry out to God for mercy. And I think the key here in this psalm is to cry out to God. So often, in at least my own prayers, they can look so flat when I come to repentance. I chuck it in as a line, knowing that that is what I've been taught to do from Sunday school. Please forgive me for my sins, God. Thanks, I'll move on now. As we've seen, sin is very real and very dangerous. And so we do need to spend time crying out to God and acknowledging our sin and asking for forgiveness. And as David has already said, and as we know from our lives, God delights to show favor, and his favor lasts a lifetime if we would only seek after him. Or perhaps we're not quite in the pit. We don't feel like we're in the pit. But in some ways, we share in David's boast here. I stand and I say, I have a stable job, or I have a happy family. I have lots of friends around me, a good community of people. My savings are looking good. I've got a good pension. I'm set up. What can shake me? What can move me? And I think David is very clear in warning us that we need to ditch that prideful attitude. We need to recognize that in a blink of an eye, all that God has given us can seemingly just disappear and we are stuck in that pit. It can feel so easy for us to slip into stability and to forget the fragility of life. 1 minute, like David, you feel like you're standing on a firm mountain which cannot be moved, and you say, I am stable, nothing can move me. And then the next minute, the very rocks that were holding you up are crumbling away as you fall down into that pit. If that is you, if you feel unshakable, if you feel like you've forgotten all that God has given you, then again, cry out to him for mercy and seek his face. And why is it that we do these things? It is, as David says, so that we may continue to praise God and to praise his name. Verse 9, what is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? I was watching this documentary on the longevity movement, and one of the really saddest moments in it was this interview with Brian Johnson, who we saw earlier. And he was asked the question, so Brian, don't die. You've got this philosophy, you've got this movement, don't die. What is it all about? I guess I'm asking, what are you not dying for? And Brian sits back in his chair, thinks for a bit, thinks for an uncomfortably long time, and then says, I guess to see tomorrow. I think we see there that deep down, Brian doesn't even know what he's doing it for. He wants to reverse aging. He wants to live forever, but for what? And then when he eventually comes out with saying, I guess so that I can see tomorrow, you think about it, what does tomorrow look like for Brian? Let me take you through some of his schedule. You're only allowed 1 hour of sunlight a day, and it's got to be before 6 a.m. Otherwise, that'll damage your skin too much. You cannot eat after 12 p.m. because you've got to optimize your sleep, which has to be in this controlled room and a controlled temperature. And that life where you're branding your skin each day to reverse the aging of your skin cells, it just doesn't seem worth it. If that's what tomorrow looks like, it looks bleak and it looks pointless. And if that's what immortality is, then I certainly don't want it. But David wants to live so that he may continue to praise God, that he may do what he was made to do. If you are currently in the pit, if you feel like you understand what David has been through, then cry out to God, echo David's words, so that you may praise God still. And don't give up, because we believe in a God who can and who does save, and so earnestly cry out to him and seek him. And if God does raise you up out of that pit, then praise his name, declare his praises to others. I am also reminded at the start of John chapter 9, where Jesus is walking with his disciples and they go past this blind man and his disciples ask him the question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus responds, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the glory of God might be displayed in him. Again, as I said earlier, you might be feeling in the pit right now, and that might not be because you've sinned. As Jesus points out here, this man wasn't blind because of his sins or his sins of his parents or anything like that, but just because of the results of living in a fallen world. But David's cry is still relevant. God, would you use me in this pit? Would you use whatever is going on in my life to bring you glory? Lord, would you not let me stay in this pit? Would you be glorified through me? And many times that does not look like healing in our lives, but we can still cry out to God that he would be glorified. You may be sitting here right now and thinking, very at the front of your mind, wanting to say it, or maybe it's sitting there subconsciously in the back, that doesn't seem fair. Other people get healing. Other people get drawn up out of that pit. David gets it. I've cried out to God more times than I can count. I want to be healed. Some of you sitting here might have suffered with conditions, might have felt like you're in the pit for most of your life. I feel like I've been in this pit for ages and I just cannot praise God anymore because there is no end in sight. This pit seems inescapable in my life and I cannot see where God is. This brings us on to our third point this evening, which is praise God forever because he saves. Praise God forever because he saves. As we've looked at and as we've walked through this psalm, we have seen that it very much speaks to our earthly experience. But ultimately, this psalm speaks to the experience of one man, of Jesus, and of his journey down to the pit and his glorious resurrection back from it. Let me walk you through some of this. We know that Jesus died, that he went down to the pit. And what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? God's face was turned from him. He hid his face. And it was certainly not because of sin that Jesus had committed. And we see that there was much weeping in the night from the disciples and his followers, but yet joy, what glorious joy came in the morning when they saw that he had risen. Death looked like it had won. It looked like it had taken Jesus. But God did not let his enemies gloat over him. He did not let death win. But rather, he rose triumphantly, and he did all of this so that God's name might be praised. Jesus went down to the pit so that I will never have to go down to that pit. He died for me. And yes, in my life, weeping may stay for the night. And that night might seem like it'll last forever. It may last the whole of my lifetime. But what is that compared to an eternity spent with God? What is that compared to knowing his favor, which doesn't last a night, which lasts a lifetime, which lasts an eternity? So whatever you are going through currently, whatever pit you feel like you are in, you can still praise God because he went down to that pit of death for me, and that I may never have to truly know what that feels like. And because of this, Christ has lifted me up and my wailing is turned to dancing. You have removed my sackcloth, God, and my clothed removed my clothes of mourning, and you've clothed me with joy. You've clothed me with Christ Jesus. And so, no matter what is going on, I have every reason to sing your praises forever. If you are here this morning and you do not know this great salvation, if you feel like you are in the pit, the glorious news of the gospel and the glorious news that Jesus brings is that you do not have to stay there. You need only cry out to him and he will forgive you. The answer to longevity, to this scary issue, to the pit and to death, is not found in science or in innovation, but it is found in Jesus alone. One of David's main concerns is that of being silent. Do not allow whatever pit you find yourself in or circumstances going on in your life to make you silent. Reflect on what God has done in your life, in the pits that he has raised you up from, but also in how he has died for you and meant you never have to go down to that pit, and praise him. Sing of his praises daily, not just worshiping him on a Sunday. Praise him in our prayers. Thank him. Praise him and tell his praises to others. Tell people in the church family of what he's done for you to the rest of the world. Because if we remain silent, we are instead testifying to the fact that God does not save and that he has not saved us. And so praise him forever. And amazingly, we will praise him forever. When we see him, when we are with him, and all pain and all illness and all sickness are like a breath that we have experienced in our lives, and they are nothing compared to eternity. Let me close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your Son down to die for us. Thank you that you rescued us up out of that pit, God, and for how good you are and how worthy of your praises, how worthy of our praises you are, Lord. And I just pray that we would leave here today praising your name and knowing of your goodness, God, and trusting in your ability to save. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.